Donald Trump flip-flops on Brett Kavanaugh and announces a love affair with Kim Jong-un. Ed Blankley is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is John Ritten from the radio station 2SER. Each week we get together and have a chat about the latest news out of the United States. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Donald Trump has been back and forth on Kavanaugh, first calling Dr. Christine Blasey Ford a credible witness and seemingly backing off his nominee, now, yesterday, openly mocking the woman at one of his pep rallies and standing behind Kavanaugh. What's the latest?
Well, it seems that the FBI is doing some sort of putting some lipstick on rouge and making up the story so it fits the president's assumptions that she is not a credible witness. He walked tenderly in the beginning, but I think his temper got the better of him. And when he's in a rally, he says what he really feels, and that is he wanted to take down this woman like he does all of his opponents, and that's what his crowd likes. So if things go the way he wants, he'll be happy.
Even for Trump and even for his rabid fan base, this has got to be a new low, surely.
It is. And this is not going to play well in the polls in many states, including Mississippi, where he was. So he may be losing voters while holding on to the core of his base, but they must be repulsed by this. I can't imagine them not being.
Just breaking a time of recording, the FBI has looked into the allegations ordered by the White House, which is what Democrats, Ford, and the other accusers wanted, and Republicans really didn't want. It sent a report through that claims no corroboration of sexual misconduct allegations against Kavanaugh, but has been criticized for going, well, it was a pretty quick investigation, and they didn't interview a great deal of people, including Kavanaugh himself. What's your take, Ed?
Well, I think they played Flake for a chump. He is now in the position for having ordered an FBI investigation. It's a silly FBI investigation, but it's very much enough for the president and others to say this is enough to confirm this man, and you better step aside. That doesn't mean Collins and Murkowski will, but I suspect Collins will. I doubt if Murkowski will. That one vote will not be enough because they can go depend on Pence to vote for him. He will be the most maligned justice ever on the Supreme Court.
Indeed, I believe there was, two of the three renegade Republicans he did need the confirmation from. Obviously, we are going to know in the next couple of days whether this goes through or not. Senator Lindsey Graham has said that if Brett Kavanaugh fails in this nomination, though, Trump should double down and nominate him again. Now, even failing that, can Republicans cram through Kavanaugh or another nominee at this stage before midterms?
Sure. If they found someone with clean skin, no matter how conservative, they could hold a week-long hearing and have the person in before the Congress changed. The Congress does not change until January. And people think it changes after the election. It does not. The new members are not seated until January. So they could do the hearings and everything. They have a whole month right up to Christmas to do this and get another person in. It is very doable.
Moving on to other news, Donald Trump's love affair with Kim Jong-un. I don't know if it's more or less explosive than his affair with Stormy Daniels, but Trump claiming this week that the pair fell in love after a flowery letter was sent through to the White House, apparently praising Trump and asking for another summit back on. What's going on, Ed?
I don't know whether Kim Jong-un is smoking the wrong stuff or really is playing Trump for a fool. But in the end, it does seem that Trump is responding to this in the most childish behavior, even announcing that letter in the way he did. We fell in love. It was sickening. So he's trivializing an important world set of events but I'm not sure what Kim Il-sung's up to. But I would assume that he's going to keep his nuclear weapons after these announcements, because Trump will look like a fool.
Well, it's funny to me because it very much lines up with what we were talking about last week. In fact, flattery can go a long, long, long way with this president. We were talking last week about the funds, the sort of charitable funds that would go to different nations, and the suggestion that if they personally praise Trump, they're in the line for funds. If they don't, they're not. It's a worrying way to run sort of an administration.
It's a worrying way to run anything, even a radio program. Although we'd like a little praise, wouldn't we?
Absolutely, mate. Also in international news, US Ambassador to NATO Kay Bailey Hutchison made a bit of a slip suggesting the states could make preemptive strikes on Russian missiles capable of reaching the US mainland. Has since walked those comments back, but the bluster of this administration really seems to leak from the top down.
It does, and clearly that is true. The U.S. could launch preemptive strikes. That's why these bases are in Turkey, and forward positioned in the Dakotas and the like. So that's not real news, but to have an official announcing that, sounding like government policy, is scary.
The relationship between the US and Russia right now, it has been a little bit tense. Obviously, there was quite a love affair between Trump and Putin when Trump first got in, but we still seem to see now a great deal of tension.
Well, that tension comes from other people in the administration, not from the president or the White House. He still needs Putin, because Putin has some dirt on him and his family and his son-in-law. So he's trying to hold that together, but he really can't hold back his national security forces. That would be very ugly. So he's stepping around that as much as he can.
Back at home, Trump has been boasting about the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, his replacement for NAFTA, which of course Trump complained was the worst trade deal the US had ever made. Some small changes, but a report claiming, according to most economists, the deal remains largely the same as NAFTA, just with this fancy new name.
That is very true. I've looked through the deal, and I looked at what the Obama people were looking for in changes, and most of them were the same as ones that Trump gave. For example, raising the environmental standards that Mexican products and services had to meet before they could come into the United States, increasing the wage rates in Mexico so they couldn't compete unfairly on wages. Improving many safety standards and the like, and also guaranteeing certain forms of trade. Now, all these things were things that the Obama administration had asked for. What Trump needs, as we said earlier, is flattery. And this deal gives him something. He would have done the same thing with Obamacare if somebody in the White House had put the program together for him, or Obama had left him with one that he could just rename.
Yeah, it's a pity it's not named Trump Trade or something like that, something a little bit more catchy.
Yeah, Trump trade. That really sounds catchy.
And midterms, former President Barack Obama has massively increased the number of candidates he is endorsing, now officially endorsing over 300, mostly in state senates. What do we think, Ed?
Well, I think these are races that the Democrats can win. Obama is still a very good name, even in places where Trump won. In West Virginia, in Michigan, Ohio, and the like. And Obamacare is front and center here, because medical care, after the Supreme Court justice, is the most important thing for Americans. And they're splitting off from Trump and the Republican Party that doesn't support that in order to vote for the Democrat. So Obama is a positive. Notice Trump has not endorsed that many candidates because there are many people who don't want him around.
And just finally, I wanted to circle back on the Kavanaugh issue. This week, Donald Trump was asked whether he was more afraid, given these kind of, you know, revelations that have come out, the Me Too movement that's come out, whether he was more afraid for his daughters or for his sons. And he answered quite emphatically he was more concerned about his sons and the way allegations made in this day and age can supposedly ruin reputations, ruin careers, and the like. The Me Too movement is obviously struggling at the moment, looking at the Kavanaugh situation and looking at the likelihood this man is going to end up on the Supreme Court. You and I haven't discussed the Me Too movement to a great extent, Ed, but this one, it seems a little bit like two steps forward, one step back. It does seem like a very shaky time.
I wouldn't consider it that. I think the Me Too movement, pointing at the kinds of things that have been going on for a long time, is going to have a much more lasting impact. Furthermore, the Me Too Mountain movement is sounding very much like Black Matters. Black men have been victims of police and so forth at the hands of white males. So I think the evening of the score is going to start really hard now, and thank goodness it will. And some of the behavior males have been doing is going to be shunned by both men and women. So I think the movement has probably got good footing, and it's going to go way up the tree. You'll be surprised.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2ser.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.